to another year
of discovering the magic in the world and the magic of us. Happy birthday. I love you, Fran. I love you too. So we'll continue this journey this year, this wonderful wanderlust that we have. We all share it, discovering the magic, breath by breath, moment by moment. I assume many people have had the experience of starting to write a letter one day and going to finish it maybe two or three later, days later, and it... No, I didn't want to say that. Well, for a bit of time, I've been sitting, had some thoughts about, what is there to say today? Oh, and I had a koan about birthdays and this and that and whatever it may be. And then it surfaced up as a, in the writings of Hakowin, this is reported there. He comes into the Sangha like this and he says, "Oh, how wonderful to be with you. I have nothing to say." And in truth, for at least you'll get this, there is nothing new to say. Nothing. And the more that gets recognized, understood, the more that all of this that we enter into here in this world becomes less strange. So I say, well, what's worthy of repeating? Because I now recognize that Blake, when he said, a fool who persists in his folly becomes wise. You get old enough, you start to, these older teachings, the great poets and teachers, there was something there. So that there are some things worthy of repeating. And all of a sudden, they're not smart-ass gestures. To say that, as Harry Truman said, the only thing new in the world is the history you haven't read. I don't mean read all in that way, but it's there all the time. It's there all the time. And we work together to open the grace of receiving that insight. Socrates said, all of this, these inquiries and learnings are just recollection. Recollection. Simply perceive the source, it says. Oh, yeah, we want to make that a thing. Where is this source? Give me a package of it. There's no package. There's an experience, though. That is real. And to recollect, I want to honor my ancestor, Tao Xin. In the Chinese, it was... T-A-O-S-H-I-N. It's transliterated to Doshin. He was a fourth ancestor in that golden age there. And actually, he had it all in a nutshell. The mind that is aware of the Buddha is the Buddha. The mind that is aware of the Buddha is the Buddha. This moment itself is mind. This moment arises from mind. Right, this breath. The awareness. Well, I'm going to borrow from from my teacher, Muriel Matheson. And again, with no shame to say it's, you know, words that hadn't been heard, or they're all there. The only thing new is the history you haven't read. Well, let it be new right now. And see, those of you who might have been together were nearly almost 20 years, or whether it be 20 days. See if this still lingers for you. This recollects for you. This feels sourceful for you. Zen has been called the religion before religion, which is to say that anyone can practice, including those committed to another faith. And the phrase evokes that natural religion of our early childhood when heaven and splendorous earth were one. But soon the child's eyes are clouded over by ideas and opinions, preconceptions and abstractions. Simple, free being becomes encrusted with the armor of the ego. Not until years later does an instinct come that a vital sense of mystery has been withdrawn. The sun glints through the pines and the heart is pierced in a moment of beauty and strange pain like a memory of paradise. After that day, that moment of beauty day, at the bottom of each breath, there's a hollow place that is filled with longing. We become seekers without knowing what we seek. And at first, we long for something greater than ourselves, something apart and far away. It is not a return to childhood, as childhood is not a truly enlightened state. Yet, to seek one's true nature is, as one Zen master has said, a way to lead you to your long-lost home. To your source, to your long-lost home, to wherever. That has been our practice. In between, a lot of mix-ups and misdirections and coming back and finding out and discovering and sharing and moments of joy, etc. But nevertheless, it really persists with that. And the recollection of that that we offer here is important. This, the rest of, I may seem wandering here. As I said, I've been wandering to decide, well, I'll do this, I'll do that. But it's what comes up for me next is in this recollection. Why the Sangha for me? And I recall the wonderful moment I had a few years ago with Jishin, and it was in conversations we were having, why do we practice? Why do we come to this Sangha? Well, individually, you may have something that you felt is a reason. Could have been anything, an event that happened in life, or someone you met that was, well, what is it about you? And then, we start sharing and not proselytizing, but gifting people with things. It took me a while because I just didn't want to get a list of reasons. I could give the sequencing. I could tell you step by step what happened, who I met, and what day. We all have that. But then, I don't remember, there was like a flash. I feel we were in a car or wherever. And I said, oh, belonging. Just that. Feel that. feel that wind that goes around the universe that's never, never stopping, that's gluing us in a way right now, right in this thing. It's the belonging. The belonging. And it's wondrous. And to feel, as Dogen would say, the taking of the backward step, to feel the embrace of all this, to feel the embrace of the universe. Sit with that. Yeah. And the I don't want to go any further until I let me read one more little thing. And this was again written, I think I wrote it what, 18, 19 years ago when we were starting and had to put something up there. And it's on our website. And maybe you've read it, maybe you haven't. But now in the context of our climate right here today and our being together about us and such, feel this as it goes through and for yourself, take it. The Southern Palm Zen Group is comprised of people who have come together to build personal and community wisdom through Zen practice. We do through Zazen, meditation, traditional Zen services, retreats, study groups, social gatherings, and service to others. Seems we've covered those things in 20 years. Our primary practice form is taken from the Zen tradition, but we draw on the insights of other disciplines. This intention is to use the form, like the banks of a river, to direct or awaken the flow of ancient and contemporary wisdom for ourselves and the world we are part of. This is what we've been doing. Not just the words of Dogen are uttered here. At the heart of Zen is not theory, dogma, or belief. However, there is one request to practice Zazen, a form of meditation which allows people to discover the link which binds them to the presence in themselves and all beings. Although Zen practice is hundreds of years old, it addresses contemporary questions by bringing extraordinary attention to the midst of so-called ordinary circumstances. An additional reason for my reading that as I when it first came up for me, I said, you know, has that really been what's happening? Has been happening? I said, yeah, maybe. Maybe when doing that, it really felt right then and it feels right now. And one of the reasons it feels right now are these two wonderful teachers you have right here. And what they do in, you know, I talk about having a structure that radiates a climate. What goes on behind the scenes with, you well could guess, with Jishin and Gary by her side and Mushin, to have these things happen, to create the structure of this. And within that structure radiates right this moment as we sit here, some climate. Now, some might not approve of the way things happen, or why don't we do this, or why don't we do that, or I don't like the way this one talked to me, or that one talked to me, and oh my God. Okay. Someone came in with a koan this morning. There's two people walking down the street and it started to rain. One gets wet and one doesn't. Are you one that can take the wetness, embrace it, know that it's going to stop raining, know that it can be shaken off? Or are you one that has to run to get dry? Can you welcome that rain? Can we welcome all these things and say, what is it for me? That's provided here. That's provided here. And I guess in a way it's an appeal, call it, for me to keep supporting that. To keep supporting that. I was going to make a list of the things that go on behind the scenes, but I think they might throw a rock at me and say, shut up. So much that goes on, both of them. Prisons and the arrangements and the visits to sick people and this and that, and whatever it may be, to making sure of schedules and such. I know what it is to trust. They are examples for me and inspire me with that. Yeah. Anyways, we still got a little bit. I also along the line came up with where's my picture here? I want you to take that home. Where do we get in with this birthday thing or the aging thing or the questions come up, you know, what does it feel? You know, you're 80 now, what did you learn, et cetera. And a while ago, I had come across the writings of Hokusai. Hokusai was a Japanese painter in the very late 1700s into the 1800s. You might know him from his 36 views of Mount Fuji. And this is the famous one. In fact, John, you have it. It's the Great Wave of Kanagawa. And what attracted me or got it tucked away here was something he wrote. Because he was really skilled in many areas. Indeed, Hokusai was his last name. He kept changing his name as he went through the years and kept doing different things. And I thought, well, boy, I was born as Moshe Tzvi Benyitzko Kalivi, then I became Mitchell, and then when I went to Boston as a little kid, the guys thought that was a terrible name, so they called me Mike. And then, I don't know, Muktananda called me Janaka, and then I were at Kripalu, and I was Premanand, the bliss of love. and then I returned to, or recollected, or fell backwards into that source of dosha. To the mind that's aware of the Buddha is the Buddha. Anyways, some inspiration for us oldies. Hokusai. Says, from the age of 6, I had a mania for drawing the form of things. By the time I was 50, I had published an infinity of designs. But all I have produced before the age of 70 is not worth taking into account. At 73, I have learned a little about the real structure of nature, of animals, plants, birds, fishes, insects. It says, in consequence, when I am 80, I will have made more progress. At 90, I will have penetrated the mystery of things. At 100, I shall reach a marvelous stage. And when I am 110, everything I do, be it a dot or a line, will be alive. Will be alive. Boy, the game ain't over at any point, kiddies. And in recent years, I mean, people say, well, what's it like? And some of you who's, you know, in this part of life, it's hard to put into words, but you know there's something different. There has been, as Muriel Roche would say, there's something there that's been beating in our hearts for centuries, always there. And somehow, those moments when the doors sort of open, grace open up, and, you know, what we at one point would say, oh, relative and absolute, but it's not that there. It is just this, just living, just the being, nothing to do, just the being of it. So let that happen. Rest with that. I had some other things. Actually, there's a wonderful poem. I'm looking at time. Keep the script. I won't get into it, but you can look it up. There's a wonderful poem that a man named Roger Keyes wrote called Hokusai Says. I'll just read a couple little things. Originally, I thought I'd have time.
We have
the poem.
Plenty of time.
Yeah.
We have the whole morning.
Oh, okay. Too bad.
Settle in, folks.
Okay. Because it's a great teaching. And, you know, it was a fresh one for me. You know, we've heard a lot of these other things, but this one, I dare say, I don't know. Has anybody ever heard the poem Hokusai Says? Or seen it? Or Roger Keyes? Okay. It's a list of things. Hokusai says, look carefully. He says, pay attention. Notice. He says, keep looking. Stay curious. He says, there is no end to seeing. Now, I may... little comments on just these little groups that he has. Now, of course, that brought to mind immediately, you know, that the seven, if you, anybody wants to know what you're doing, you know, in Zen or Buddhism, you know, there's a seven-word explanation. Everything changes. Nothing is separate. Pay attention. Everything changes. Nothing is separate. Pay attention. The Buddha's teaching. That's the whole ball of wax. And Hokusai is saying that. Attention, that awareness that's always there. We close here and I say, thankfully Howard's here because I want to read something by Michelle de Salzman relative to that I read every morning when I sit down and do Zazen. About this awareness that's never not there, or as Craig would say, always is there. Always is there. We look at the crescent moon, and yet the whole moon is still there. And it isn't in a way that we have to worry about losing this awareness, losing this attention. We don't lose it. It's always there. It's never lost us. We come back, as Rumi said, time and time again, you wanderers of lost souls or whatever it is. Come back, come back, come back, you wanderers. There's a poem written by a now gone teacher of mine, Alan Kanzan Plants. Remember Franny, Alan? Wild guy. And, you know, from the Sagaponic Zendo. Oh, God, he was... wild man. But he was a poet, fisherman, brave man, relative to this paying attention to this, as Hokusai say, keep looking, stay curious. There's no end to the seeing. My friend Alan wrote, listen to the wind and the ceaseless message that forms itself out of silence. Ceaseless, there all the time without me forcing it. Just the listening. Just the listening with every part of us. And we know it's just not with our ears or mind. And we know it's not just with our ears or mind. Thank you, Alan. Hokusai says he looks forward to getting old. He says, keep changing. You just get more who you really are. I looked at my coach here. She said, okay, you're doing all right, guy. The way is, she worried about me whether I even make it to this point up here. And it's like, you know, we talk mountains and mountains. Mountains are not mountains, and then mountains are mountains again. Well, these phases go on. And mountains are mountains in the early parts of practice. We're going to know something. We're going to have an object there. We're going to figure it out. And then something happens. Oh, the Dharma's there. Mountains are not mountains. There's all this wondrous thing. But then somehow, mountains are mountains. And it's just the living of it. And by the way, the Chinese teacher who wrote that at first, he says, now that I've gotten a little way in, he could see that, you know, mountains are mountains. He didn't write that he reached the top of the mountain and never returned. Your intention, this is another, you know, Doshin corny one, your intention is much more powerful than any form you have. The intention that brings you here, wherever it's from, is the power that's behind you. There's something calling. There's something, as Rumi says in Love Dogs, longing for you. It's never a one-way street. Never, never. Hokusai says, he says, get stuck. Accept it. Repeat yourself. As long as it's interesting, he says, keep doing what you love. I read something that came through on what's the Post? The Huffington Post? No, what's the Post in the morning? Yeah, the Huffington Post. Andy Warhol. Isn't life a series of images that change as they repeat themselves? Isn't life a series of images that change as they repeat themselves? Really? And just last week, we're on the plane, and I open up, I was going to read something on the Kindle, and there's a book there that I hadn't put on there, and I maybe Franny put on. I really haven't been doing a lot of reading this year. On Kindle, I mean, I've been reading Chinese poetry, Wang Wei, Seamus Heaney, things of that nature. It's like a joy, because now, it's like mountains and mountains, and there's a taste there that keeps pointing to them with this wonderful poetry that it's not an explanation of the sacred, it's the sacred experience itself. And you realize at some point that's all that Dogen and all these other guys and gals were doing all these years that you're reading in the Hidden Lamp. It's the experience of it. But we came. I opened. There's a book called What? Haunting. Did you recommend it, Lira? Liz? I don't know where it came from. Well, God is my witness. And it's by a man named James Loomis. And I never been a student of Jung or psychology. It was too complicated for me. And I started to read this. And, I'm only about 25% into it, but I'm looking for more time. I'm going to stay with it. Where Loomis is a very, very human, available, non-professorial manner. Says the same thing. These things that have been there from ad infinitum, and there's no beginning, no end. We have that, you know, sort of agreement, but yet we have to use that. All these things that are repeating themselves time and time and time again through generation. And I had this wondrous cascade of my father. Things that he had done that I hadn't recalled since a little kid. It was great having cheap therapy. The price was right. Probably saved 5 years. But Warren's right. I said, again, isn't life a series of images that change as they repeat themselves? We do that. So there's no need for surprise, but is the embracing of it, the seeing of it, the shaking off of the water when it gets wet, knowing that it'll rain again. He says, every one of us, he says, keep praying. Rumi Hakusai says he keeps praying. What came up for me when I read that is something that hit me a long time ago by Kierkegaard. It took a little while to really, you know, grog it. But Kierkegaard said, the one who hears the prayer is the one who is doing the praying. What do you mean? I want God or Buddha to hear it. I'll say it again. The one who hears the praying is the one who is doing the praying. I don't want to say anything more. Who are you? All these crazy same things. Wow. Oh. He says every one of us is frightened. He says every one of us has to find a way to live with fear. Yeah. It's like popped up, I think it was number three in the Tao Te Ching. And it's, you know, about desire and such. And it comes out, how can I find peace within all these desires? But there's always that stillness, always there. And you've heard me say before, that's why I'm not afraid to keep going back and recalling again that I can, in Socrates' footsteps, I can go to the mall in Boca. And I can go and enjoy all the things I can do without. That freedom is there all the time. All the time. He says everything is alive. Shells, buildings, people, fish, mountains, trees. Wood is alive. Water is alive. Everything has its own life. Dogen, the tiles. St. Francis, wherever the eye falls is the face of God. We talk, and sometimes too confusedly, people don't get. I think what Dogen meant is let the 10,000 things come to you, yet you are going with the 10,000 things. I won't go into Dongshan, but I will say one thing that's haunted me for years and is now starting to. I should, you know, someone shouldn't be their own critic in their own way, but when you feel it and it's there's no confusion in it. It's reflecting in what I'm doing in my this part of my career in photography, which has transformed amazingly from, you know, doing nice pictures of Buddhas to whatever it may be, to now it could be whatever. You'll have to go look. But Minor White said, be still until the object of your attention affirms your presence. Can you attend to the Buddha and be still with that Buddha, with our friend Hans's Buddha there? And little by little, let it not confirm your presence, but some affirmation confirms your presence. That's where I think the artists that we'll call artists, and we're all artists in our own way, whatever, that is the gift they're giving us. Be still until the object of your attention affirms your presence. Too many of these. He says, it doesn't matter if you draw or write books. It doesn't matter if you saw wood or catch fish. It doesn't matter if you sit at home and stare at the ants on your veranda or the shadow of trees and grasses in your gardens. Lao Tzu comments on that. I'm beginning to feel like a Torah scholar. You know, the midrash is on the side, you know. They have these words in it, you give the commentaries. Lao Tzu said, without going out your door, you can know the whole world. Without looking through your window, you can see the Tao of heaven. Just look, see it? See it? See it? And it's seeing you. Isn't that wonderful, that meeting that's always there? All that life that meets all the time. Don't have to go anyplace. He says, it matters that you care, it matters that you feel, it matters that you notice, it matters that life lives through you. Chop wood, carry water. So, just be. We forget, yeah. I came up, it's funny, a long time ago. These things just pop up. I love all this, call it synchronicity. Jim Cohen had given me this a long time ago. Yes, Maku Kwantu. You know what it means? Huh? It says, don't control things. Those of you who know me a long time, you know, I said to someone this morning, I'm a guy who... some of these things that, you know, things in life are best done by committees of three when two are absent. So it's a good lesson. So I can thank Hakusai again for that reminder. Yeah. He says, contentment is life living through you. Joy is life living through you. Satisfaction and strength are life living through you. Peace is life living through you. And that, in my vernacular, doesn't use, I'm always ready to say the dirty word happy. That wanting to grab onto something that I'm not at this moment or not experiencing this moment or be elsewhere than this right here. I know it's words, but they're examples that maybe we can remember so that when these walking down the street and the rain is coming down, we can welcome it. Welcome it. We can welcome the tears that can come, and they will come, and the sadness that comes. And we can also know that those tears don't have to grow roots in the ground. Really. Life is there all the time with us. Trouble is, we've been knocking for the inside, and we want to now start knocking from the outside, knocking on the outside along with all of our neighbors, because we're all doing the same thing. Oh, it was an Emily Dickinson. I've been reading Emily Dickinson, too. I finally reached the point where these things are getting to be fun, the poets. The struggle about it is a lot less. I read this one a couple of weeks ago. Who has not found the heaven below will not find it above. For angels rent the house next to ours wherever we remove. In other words, if we don't, so to speak, if we don't find it right here, where are you going to find it? Where are you going to find it? And the angels rent the house next to ours. Look, all our angels, we're renting next to one another. That's all. Nothing more to it. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Look, feel, let life take you by the hand. Let life live through you. Life comes to us like the 10,000 things, not we who give life. These are my words now. Are we really the doer? Yet as Blake and Rilke and all the others write, we're part of it. So I will echo it's the first law of photography. I learned this from a teacher. He had the rules, the laws of photography. And it applies here as to every other part of life. The first rule, show up. Show up. In whatever form that means to you, show up. Treasure yourself. Treasure yourself. Thank you, Akasai. Two little other things. I can keep going here all night, but I think what I'll do is maybe ask you for a little drama. just hit me. I will ask you to sit in Zazen form and bring your soft eyes, bring your breath to yourselves, whatever that means to you. Settle in. I'm going to read to you what I read every morning as I sit down on the cushion. It's by Michel de Salzman. No need for any identification as to religion or philosophy or anything else. It's just words. Everything we need is here in us. Everything for fuller being. There's a kind of sacred descent of attention that can bring this about. Seeing the obstacles, thoughts, feelings, yes. But if I can relax inside, just allow the pure attention to flow in, be in that, very natural. It's what we are. Attention. A sacred energy coming into me. Be sensitive to it. Recognize again and again that it is there, breath after breath. Come back to the breath and rest in the stillness. And as a postscript from Pablo Neruda, his wonderful poem, Keeping Quiet. Now I will count to 12, and you keep quiet, and I will go.